To the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. Up next is the audiobook by Dr. Billy Brim, The Blood and the Glory, read by her daughter Shelley Brim. This classic teaching will guide you to discover the truth about the blood of Jesus and the glory of God. Stay tuned to the end of our broadcast to find out more on Billy Brim Ministries' next authority conference hosted near Tulsa, Oklahoma, April 27th through the 29th. This is a free special Tulsa, Oklahoma event. For more information, visit billybrim.org or call 417-336-4877.
This blood avails for all things. It is our protection against everything if we will cry for it and trust in it. At one time, I walked to a town about 6 miles distant, as the mules and horses were all away. On my way back, I was some distance from any house when I saw a company of men sitting and drinking whiskey, and I saw they were becoming quite drunk with it. I left the path and circled around, but perceiving one of them had seen me and was coming after me as fast as he could and was rapidly gaining on me at every step, I saw my danger and cried out for the blood to protect me from this drunken man. Almost immediately, his attention was attracted by some little thing along the road, and he seemed to forget all about me. One day, I was starting to go into a house, and just as I stepped inside the gate, there was a terrible, ferocious bulldog. I held my umbrella in front of me, but he broke it in an instant. Then he grabbed me close to the knee, holding my limb between his teeth. I cried for the protection of the blood, and that dog could not shut his jaws. The people in the house were greatly surprised that I was not torn to pieces. I went to a house one day and found the whole family down with a fever similar to yellow fever. It's very dangerous. No one would come to help them because they were afraid of it. I felt that I could not leave them that way, so I cried out for the protection of the blood and stayed with them all that day and night, going from one bed to another, waiting on them. I never had a sign of the fever. Even death has to recede before this precious blood of Jesus. A woman in Douglas had consumption. Her husband was a railroad man, and friends telegraphed him that his wife was dying. In their house was a friend who believed in divine healing, and she sent for me. We had prayer, and the woman was better, but the devil came in an onslaught. When I went back, my friend said she had a sort of vision, and everything in the room was black except herself and me. And we were like two white specks. She said, "I know death has struck her," and I saw that her face was ashy. I just bent down over her and pleaded the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. After a while, she drew a long breath, opened her eyes, and said, "It is gone." Surely, death had fled before the mighty name and the blood of Jesus Christ. She is a well woman today. I do not believe we half know the gift Jesus Christ gave us when he gave us this blood. I found in Mrs. Newsom's book, as well as in the accounts of many other old-timers affected by the outpouring of the Spirit at the beginning of the 20th century, much emphasis on the blood. It was upon their lips in prayer, practical use, sermon, and song. Many of our songs about the blood came from that time. This might be a good place to insert something else the Lord spoke to me about the blood. He showed me that Satan has systematically tried to rob from the church truth about the blood of Jesus and its practical use, especially as a primary weapon against him. He called to my remembrance how some years ago a major denomination took all the blood songs out of their hymnals with a resultant loss of power. They said the blood frightened little children. Little children are not frightened by the joyous singing of "There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb." But someone is. Satan is. Then the Lord impressed me. You, the word or charismatic churches I usually speak in, do not have songbooks. You have overhead projectors. But what is the difference in their removing the blood songs from their hymn books and your removing them from your repertoires? So I began to take a survey. I paid close attention when I went to our churches. Much more often than not, the song service did not include one song about the blood. And consider that it is through the blood we have access. The preaching usually did not contain mention of the blood. I believe this is changing now, however, for it must. One old-timer, Carl Roos, told me before he moved to heaven, "The Lord told us, make much of the blood, and the blood will make much of you." That concept of honoring the blood of Jesus was well known to the saints I have researched. Like Mrs. Newsom, they had faith in the power of the blood, and they wielded their weapon, often by setting a watch with it, a blood watch. The price of constant victory. It was in this area that I found the answer I was seeking, the preventative action we can take against Satan's unfair blows. In Mrs. Newsom's book, in chapter 7, entitled "Hold Fast That Which Thou Hast," she exposed the doors Satan uses to enter and take a place. We are all in the land of the enemy and are all subject to his attacks in spirit, soul, and body. But God says, "Give no place to the devil," Ephesians 4:27. That means that he cannot take a place in us when he attacks us if we do not let him. We open the way for him to come in if we sin. The smallest sin we commit in word, deed, or thought gives place for the devil to do us harm. The first door she mentioned is obvious. Sin. Thank God for the blood of Jesus, which cleanses us from all sin and makes us new creations when we are born again. And thank God, if we sin after we are born again, we can take advantage of 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is the blood in either case which cleanses us and closes the door of opportunity to the devil. But when I read what she had to say about another door, I knew I had what I was looking for, an opening Satan uses to afflict the innocents, and how to keep it closed. God's remedy always accomplishes just what God says it will accomplish: overcome the enemy. But watchfulness is the price of constant victory. Be vigilant. Watch all the time. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Our enemy is so set on our destruction that he never sleeps nor neglects to follow us to destroy us. How sad that we, who have so much at stake, should be less diligent than he. A failure to watch also gives the devil a place in us or permits him to return. I say unto all, watch. We are not safe from his attacks one moment without the blood of Jesus. As soon as we waken in the morning, we should cry for the blood to be upon us, within us, around us, and between us, and all evil, and the author of evil. The last thing before we sleep, we should, in the same way, cry for the protection of the blood. Oh, that we could rouse ourselves to a greater intensity in the things of God. We are so half-hearted, and yet we must overcome an enemy that is constantly alert and ready to take advantage of all carelessness and neglect. Soldiers are severely dealt with for even a small carelessness or neglect. If we neglect to watch, can God call us good soldiers? Oh, how much we suffer because we fail to watch all the time. I say unto all, watch. Not one person is excused from watching. We shall never in this life get to a place where the enemy cannot attack us. But God is not willing that we should be overcome even once. Always causes us to triumph in Christ. Not one failure as we obey and trust. I saw it. 1 Peter 5:8 is so clear. Be vigilant. Watch. That's how he slips in on us. A lack of watchfulness. The old timers set up a watch. A word watch. A blood watch. They drew a bloodline Satan could not cross. But can you do it? What is the scriptural basis? I had to go back, all the way back, back to the plan of God, back to the glory, back before the foundation of the world. Chapter 4, The Revelation of the Glory, How It Came. Life in the early 70s was busy and happy for me. At home, I was a wife and mother of four. At work, I was editor of publications for a minister who had been charged by the Lord to put all his teachings into printed form. My job was to help him do that by editing them into a magazine and books, which now have reached around the globe and multiplied millions.
Thank you for listening to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. What you just heard was from Dr. Billy Brim's audiobook, The Blood and the Glory, read by her daughter, Shelley Brim. Live near Tulsa, Oklahoma, April 27th through the 29th. Join Dr. Billy Brim for our authority conference at our home church in a glorious church fellowship. Save the dates and make your plans now to join the upcoming authority conference near Tulsa, April 27th through the 29th. Joining Dr. Billy Brim in these powerful meetings will be Chip and Shelley Brim. For more information about the Tulsa Area Authority Conference, visit billybrim.org or call 417-336-4877.